Amen. That's the title of today's message. Your best days now. The scripture we're going to get into a little bit. The main scripture will come from the book of John, chapter 2, verses 8 and 10. Again, the scripture will be John, chapter 2, verse 8 and 10, 8 through 10. We'll get there here in just a minute. How many of y'all glad y'all in God's house today?
Amen.
Amen. How many of y'all at home glad you're in God's house today? Amen. How many of you are here? Hey, it's one thing to come to God's house. It's another thing to actually be there. Amen. That's what we're going to talk about. How many times we zone out while we're in service? Oh, don't tell me I am the only one that zones out in church services. No, I ain't either. Y'all ain't telling the truth now. Come on. How many of y'all know that there's so many things that can distract us during a church service that we're in it for about 5 minutes and then boom, poof, you're gone. Like Puff the Magic Dragon. Wow, I pulled out an old one there, didn't I? Y'all remember Puff the Magic Dragon? Poof, you're gone. That's the way we go in services today. A lot of it is the fact that our attention span won't hold up with a long message. Amen. Our attention span won't hold up with a long sermon. I can tell you that. Because when I happen to actually give one, my attention span don't hold up through the whole thing. I zone out every once in a while. But that God is good, right? So we enjoy that, though. But we got to stay focused. That's what today's message is about, really. Staying focused while you're in the presence. While you're in the house of the Lord, no matter where you're at, no matter who's preaching, no matter who's singing, because hey, we can even zone out during the praise and worship. Amen. If we get a message while a song's going on, the rest of the service is probably messed up for us because we're going to be thinking about that text message or email or whatever Facebook message that we got. Is what we're going to be on our mind, not necessarily the service, the sermon, and the songs that are going on. Amen. So again, how many of you are here? How many of you are at home? Not just here in the building. Amen. How many of y'all watching YouTube? How many of y'all know church people? While the sermon's going on, some of them's got YouTube going. Aw, now. It's happening. It's happening. It happens. They zone out. They go, let's see what we're going to watch on YouTube. And veer away from the actual sermon. If you're here, say I'm here. If you're here, say I'm here in the chat. Give us a comment at the bottom. Say I'm here. I'm here for whatever God's got. Amen. We got to take a moment, don't we? We got to take a moment while we're here. We've got, listen to this, some countries, some places don't have what we have here. We have the We have the freedom. Everybody say, I like freedom.
I like freedom.
Everybody at home comment, I like freedom at the bottom. We have the freedom to gather physically still in God's house. Amen. We also have the freedom to gather online for God's house. Amen. As disciples of Jesus, we get to feed on the bread of life. We get to feed on God's word for us, on our bread of life, on the living word of God. Amen. Standing in the presence of the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. That's who we get to feed on. Worshiping the Lamb of God that was slain. Amen. Worshiping the Jesus that takes away my sins. That takes away your sins. Our sins. Amen. We get to be in this holy moment. Are you glad you're here? I am. I'm glad I'm here in this holy moment. Amen. Unfortunately, though, as I just said earlier, some of you won't be here for long. Some of you is going to check out here in a minute. You might be here physically in your body, But your brain going to go somewhere else. Your mind going to go somewhere else. Your attention is going to go somewhere else. Your thought process is going to get hijacked and go somewhere else. But we're here now. We're here right now, aren't we? But what can distract us? Again, a text message from somebody. Take us out of our element. We got to check Instagram. Some of the older people here don't know what Instagram is. It's another social media like Facebook. But a lot of the younger kids are on Instagram. So you got to check Instagram during the message. In the moment while you're there. Amen? All you have to do. They're going to think about all. They're going to check out. Think about all that they have to do after church. That next week. They're going to check out. How many of y'all have done this? They're going to check out worrying about where they're going to eat after service. Hey, we all like a good meal after service, don't we? Don't let it hijack your sermon. Don't let it hijack your holy moment. Amen. They're going to be worried about tests coming up. They're worried about pills? No, maybe that too. They're going to be worried about bills coming up. They're going to be distracting three people two rows ahead of them. How many of y'all know church members that do that? Amen. How many of y'all know church leaders that do that? How many of y'all know church pastors that do that? We all at some times distract somebody else from their holy moment. We got to get ourselves out of the way. We got to move ourselves. Amen. You might be that teenager sitting in the back row or online thinking about that cute girl or that cute guy sitting up front or sitting on Facebook video with them. I'm going to tell you a little secret. Jesus changed water to wine. And he can change us the same way. He can change our worldly self to the wine of the fruit of the Spirit, the bread of life. Amen. He changed you fine when he saved you, if you're a saved person right now. Are you glad you're here?
Amen.
But you won't hear it for long. Y'all still going to check out here in a minute. John chapter 2. It's an unusual text, isn't it? Jesus' first miracle is made at a wedding. Embarrassingly, what happened? The host house ran out of wine. That was a no-no. That was a big social mistake. That was a big Instagram post across the... they ran out of wine. You can't do that. That was one of the traditions, wasn't it? But that was Jesus' first miracle. And that house was embarrassed because that host had ran out of wine. And what did Jesus say? Took the servants to fill six massive jars full of water. And the servants drew out what's in the jar and take it to the master of the banquet. That's some good stuff, ain't it? Let's pray real fast before we get into the text. Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, I ask you, move Ronnie out of the way today, Lord. Lord, allow your Holy Spirit to speak through me, Jesus. Lord, may it be your words and not mine spoken, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the message today, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the scripture we're going to get into today, Lord. Lord, I ask you to open our heart, mind, and soul, Lord, to what you have for us today, Lord, to the message for us today, that our best life is actually right now, Lord. Lord, for us to live the way we need to live, Lord. Lord, may you be with us through the rest of the service. In your name I pray. Amen. John chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. And I'm actually up in the second part of 8, in the B part. But it starts out, it says, they did so after they asked to turn it into the wine. They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew They knew where it came from, didn't they?
Amen.
Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine once they all get drunk, right? The cheaper wine after the guests have too much to drink, because then they ain't going to know what they're drinking. They probably get so drunk they drink water and think it was wine. But, I like that last part, but you have saved the best till now. Jesus. Miracle worker, isn't he? A savior for us. Turned that water into wine. And those servant girls knew it. Can you imagine what they were acting like? When they seen that happen, they're like, whoa. Hey, that dude did something. That dude did something supernatural. Amen. Your best days are now. Your best days are now. We got a better way than what we're living, most of us. Amen. And that's a Jesus way. The way that Jesus lived is the way that we should be living our lives. And a lot of us so-called Christians have a problem with that, don't we? We got a problem holding on to ourselves and letting fully Jesus take over and living the way Christ lived. We got to get rid of that, don't we? We got to get rid of that self-centeredness. Amen? One of the most striking qualities in the way that he lived, he was fully present. Jesus was fully present. He lived with an undivided attention in the moment. No matter where Jesus went, no matter what Jesus was doing, no matter how he got there, he lived with an undivided attention in the moment. In Luke's gospel, as Jesus walked into Jericho, large crowds surrounded him. And a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, like, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. Y'all remember that story? Blind beggar Bartimaeus. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. And what happened? The disciple said, know your role, Bartimaeus. You out of line. You out of order. You just can't roll up and holler at Jesus. And what Jesus do? Oh, sorry. What Jesus do? He rebuked them, didn't he? He rebuked them for rebuking Bartimaeus. And he said, what do you want? What do you want me to do for you? Jesus stopped in the midst of going to Jericho. He stayed in the moment, in the time, and said, Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do? What can I do? Yeah, I'm busy rushing, trying to get somewhere. But I got time for you. I got time to take care of my Father's moment that you need. Jesus stopped the guy that nobody had time for. Jesus stopped him and asked him, what did you do? Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man there was by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. He had a little bit of money, so to say. And Jesus was on his way somewhere else, wasn't he? He wasn't intending to go there. He was on his way somewhere else. He had already been interrupted once by poor blind beggar Bartimaeus. But what did Jesus do? Jesus stopped again for the rich and corrupt tax collector, Zacchaeus. He stopped in the moment again. And Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man he was, who climbed up into a sycamore tree to see what he could see. He was a tax collector, a corrupt IRS agent. He skimmed off the top of the taxes that he took. But Jesus stopped and called him by his name. He didn't say, "You, hey you." Did he? He didn't say, "Dude." He didn't say, "Criminal." He didn't say, "Tax collector." He didn't say, "Dude of corruption." He said, "Zacchaeus, come over and have lunch." And come over and have lunch. And told him, "Give half of his possessions to the poor. And pay back the four times what he cheated." Then again, Jesus was trying to get somewhere. Everybody else with him was in a hurry. But he took time to stay in the moment. Amen? Today, guess what? Just like little Zacchaeus, salvation has come to our house. It's time to accept Jesus for what he truly is and to live the way he wants us to live. Amen? Jesus was always present in the moment. I want us all to be like that. I want us all to be as present as Jesus was in those moments. So no matter where we're going, how rushed we might be, when somebody says, "Hey, I need some help. Hey, I got a problem." We don't think we're too good, like the disciples did, or too busy, like the disciples did, to stop and say, "Hey, can I help? What can I do?" Amen. Just like Jesus would have done. He was always in the presence of that moment. He wasn't just living for the happy moments, the good things that happened, was he? He was fully present in all moments. In every moment. Even the annoying ones. How many of y'all try to skip out of annoying moments? Annoying times. I know I do. But Jesus stayed even through those, didn't he? He'll stay through your six kids and your 14 baby daddies. Wait a minute. You only have six baby daddies, but he'll stay through that. He'll stay through the chaos in your life. He'll stay through, I got a problem with this one right now. He'll stay through all those toys on the ground. I'm going to tell you, we got a lot of toys on the ground at the house with the little twins running around. And I promise you that I find one by my feet every time I walk somewhere in that house. So it does go annoying. But instead of yelling at them, I need to be like Jesus would. Say, "Hey, come here. Let's pick these up." Knowing they're going to go right back and forth. Right? We got a lot of people complaining today about moments that we'll miss tomorrow. I know when the kids grow up, I'll miss those moments when I was stepping on those toys and yelling and everything. But we don't need to complain about them. We need to cherish them. We need to live like Jesus would have lived through. Amen? So I ask you again, are you still here? Amen? Nobody here? Am I the only one? How about there at home? Are you still here? Amen. Yes, I'm here. Statistical odds are that we've lost some of you. We've lost some of you. We talked about it a little bit earlier about the minds taking off. There's a Harvard study that said 47% of time, mind isn't where our feet are. Meaning 47% of the time that I might be standing here, my mind is almost half somewhere else, thinking about something else. Not in the presence, not in the moment, but something else that I'm worried about or fretting about. Amen? Your mind goes and goes to stupid things. Your feet are sitting there, your mind's going, "What? I'm over here somewhere." And then you got to try to bring it back. That's a hard problem to do when it goes over to do stupid things. Stupid things like cell phone use. And the average cell phone user touches a phone 2,617 times a day. I can attest to that because I probably touch mine that much. But the average cell phone user touches it 2,617 times a day. Extreme users, your top 10%, touch your phones more than 5,400 times in a day. That's a lot of distracted mind, ain't it? Because I guarantee you, when you're on that text, when you're on your phone, your mind is not where your feet are. Your mind is not where your body is at that present moment. Your mind has wandered. Your mind has slipped away. Amen? And it's not wasting time on phones. It's playing mind games. It's trying to get you to think about other stuff. You think about, when I get out of high school, or when I get out of college, when I get a job, when I get a real job, your mind wonders about all those things. And then what do you think? Well, since I got out of college, I'm probably going to have student debt I'm going to have to pay off. And I'm probably going to get married. I'm probably going to have kids. Oh, I got one of this one right now. We're out of diapers for the kids. We got to have a better house. We got to have a better vacation. You're not so busy when the kids get grown. We got years to go. Your mind wanders. When you're sitting there playing, your mind wanders and plays the what, when, then game. You go through life wishing away the current moment, the ones that you're going to cherish later. Amen? Don't miss what you have now, pursuing what you want later. Did y'all hear that? Don't miss what you have now, pursuing what you want later. And then after you play that what if game, or what then game, you play that what if game. What if I don't pass that test? What if that ain't the right school? What if I get a bad job? What if the economy goes crazy? I worry about it. What if I can't afford the house? What if my spouse is nuts? Hey, I'm going to tell you all a secret. Everybody that gets married, you're going to say your spouse is nuts at some time. Amen? But it's good nuts if you deal with it right. What if we get COVID? We play that what if game. Matthew 6:34 tells us, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. We got to quit living that what if game and know that we got a Jesus and a God that is powerful enough to take care of our tomorrows so that we can live in the moments for today. Amen? Jesus didn't tell you not to plan your future, not to worry. He just said, don't worry about it, that He'll take care of it. Here's one reason why we don't live in that moment. Because we still have a lack of faith that Jesus will do it, that God will take care of it, that God will give us to where we don't have to worry about it and take care of itself. The only way that we can be in the present, in the moment, is to surrender the past that we can't change and trust God for the future that we can't control. Amen? The only way, again, that we can be present in the moment is to surrender the past that we can't change and trust God with the future faithfully that we can't control. Because how many of y'all know we have no control over our future? It's laid out in God's plan. It's laid out in His time, in His Word. Amen? James chapter 4, verses 13 and 14, ESV version says it this way. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet, you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for for a little time and then vanishes. Amen? Think about it like an hourglass. You got that sand up top. Once it sinks through the middle into the bottom, guess what? You can't get it back. You can't get that time back, can you? But you got to not worry about it. Because our time is fleeting. It vanishes like in an instant, in a mist. Psalm 18:24 says, New Living Translation I have says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Are you still here? Amen? Can't get an amen? I'll tell you what you can't do. You can't be happy where you are not. You can't be happy where you are not. You can't serve Jesus where you are not. You can't love people where you are not. You can't have big moments if you're not fully present. The small moments matter just as much as the big moments. That's what fully present being is. That's what living in God is. And guess what? Our God is amazing. We have one amazing God that created us. Amen? Don't miss what you have now, pursuing what you want later. To be fair, it is very easy to get distracted. I don't know about you, but I can probably be distracted within 5 seconds of talking to somebody or doing something, being involved in something. It don't take much. And if you have ADHD, you can get distracted faster than that. But think about this. At any time, if Jesus would have been consumed by himself, the cross would have not happened. Our salvation would have not happened if God was consumed with it, if Jesus was consumed with himself. He was naked on the cross. Amen? He was beaten senselessly, barely recognizable. And what happened? The man laying next to him, dying next to him, not laying hanging, guy hanging next to him, next to Jesus, ask him a question. They had a little conversation, didn't they? A little conversation between. But what did Jesus do? Even though he was hanging on the cross, even though he was beaten, battered, bruised, he gave the thief his undivided attention. He was fully focused on him, set himself aside. And they had that conversation. And that man was sorry. That thief was sorry for the things that he had done. He said, "Remember me. Remember me." And Jesus said, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." He took time for the small steps. He took time for the big steps. Jesus, even on that cross, was fully present for that thief. He's that same way with us. Amen? He's the same way with each one of us as he was with that thief. And if we ask him, just like that thief did, to remember us in paradise, to accept him as our Savior, he'll do the same thing. He'll say the same thing to us that he did to that thief. "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." You can't serve Jesus where you're not. You can't love people, and that's a big part of serving Jesus, where you're not. You can't be happy where you're not. If we don't have Jesus in our lives, we will never be truly happy. We might fool ourselves and let the devil fool us into thinking we're happy, but unless we have a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus, we will never truly be happy. We will never truly wake up that next morning with that joy that the Bible tells us about. Amen? We might have a great friend. We might have a great spouse. We might have a great mom and dad. We might have somebody that has great influence. But unless they're fully present, unless they're fully vested in Jesus, they won't be with us in paradise. This is the day. Today is the day. God saved the best life for now. The best life for us to live is now, each and every day. Not worrying about the future, but fully focusing on the holy moments each and every day that we're alive. Each and every day that He wakes us up. Amen? He gives us His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness, His freedom, His power. And His purpose is our purpose. To live in this moment, now, God is with us. I tell you again, your best days are now. Amen? As they come, let's go ahead and close. Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, I thank You for getting Ronnie out of the way today, Lord. Lord, allow Your Holy Spirit to speak through me, Jesus. Lord, I thank You for Your message, Lord. Your word spoken, not mine, Jesus. Lord, I pray that You would impress upon each one of us right now, Lord, about how important it is to be fully in Your moment each and every day of our lives, Lord. Lord, that not to stress the big or small things, Lord. Lord, because we know that You will take care of them in the end for us, Lord. Lord, we ask You just to put somebody in front of us that we can talk to and share Your most amazing love, Lord. Your mercy, Your grace, Your Jesus' salvation. And Lord, we thank You for each and everything that You do, Lord. Lord, we ask You today just to go with us from here. Lord, may we continue to be Your lighthouse in this dark and dying world, Lord. Lord, may we continue to reach the lost for You, Jesus. In Your name I pray. And everybody say it.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all stand with us for the final song.